Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom. I'm your host, Natalie Sapinski, and you're listening to Returning Home. Rosh Hashanah is upon us, and there's a lot of excitement in the air, especially because of the impending closure that's going into effect tomorrow at 2 o'clock, right before the holiday begins. This time of year, you know, crops up so suddenly. There's like no break. The summer just ends, and all of a sudden, it's Rosh Hashanah. There's not really any time to breathe. But that's Israel. I mean, it's like one thing after another here. And life just moves. It really moves fast. And you have to pay attention because you're going to miss things if you don't. So they have this saying, and I love the saying, and you hear it now, that the king is in the field. The king is in the shetach. What does that mean? It means that God's down here now, close. And if you need something, now's the time to ask. If you want to thank him, now's the time to thank him. And it's always meant to me, like, be extra careful and appreciate what you've got. And especially now, during these last 3 weeks, which I've told all of you the, you know, difficulties we've been dealing with in my house, I am looking at things that way. And I am grateful. I'm grateful that my son was wearing a seatbelt when he hit that horse. I'm grateful that we have enough food to eat, even though we don't have a kitchen. And I'm grateful that we have neighbors who helped us wash our clothes when we didn't have a washing machine. You know, I love my children. I actually love them. And when they come home, I'm happy they come home. And they're happy to come home. And my husband and I get along. And we do have Shalom Bayit. And I work on it. And I think he works on it. These things are not to be taken for granted. This daily life, which is tiring sometimes, you can't take it for granted. Because, you know, we all get older. Time doesn't go backwards. We only get older and we only slow down. And I don't want that to happen, but it's going to. So while things are fast and while I can keep up, you know, keep your eyes open. Say thank you for the good things you have. And, you know, kadima.
Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
So welcome home.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, okay. We're talking to our friend Moshe Dejman, everybody. We spoke with Moshe twice, I think, when you were still in Baltimore. And now you're here.
Yeah.
And you've been here for, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Our flight was on August 18th. We landed on the 19th, so almost about a month now.
That's right. Okay, that's excellent. And can you tell me, like, do you remember the day you arrived, what it was like to come to the airport? Was because of the situation with the corona, was it empty or what?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a good question. I wasn't sure what to expect when that happened, when we were coming to the airport. In fact, our whole experience to even get to the airport was a little bit crazy because we were leaving Baltimore the night before on a Monday and we were going to rent a car. Ended up not being able to get the car. We had to like scramble at the last minute. Then we drove to Newark and spent the night there the night before. We came in our car as well as another car because we had a total of 26 bags that we were checking. Yeah, 26 bags, 13 checked. Nefesh B'Nefesh covers you for the second bag. So, and we were two adults plus my four kids. So it was a total of 12 bags. So we were over by one. Even to free up space, we really took a lot of the hand luggage. We filled that up with a lot of the heavier stuff. So we were carrying equal weight on the actual airplane itself. So that was a pretty different experience to be walking with that much luggage. That was definitely an intense time. And we even, you know, we came to the airport with our own car, and we needed to drop it off at the port to bring it over here.
Wow.
Which itself was also another logistical.
Okay. So I'm dying to ask you, what time was your flight?
The flight was at 3:30, tentative. It actually departed at 4:30.
All right. So it was scheduled for 3:30. You have to be there 3 hours early, which is 12:30. You have to drop off your car, but you spent the night in Newark. I can just imagine you were probably up at like 4 a.m. or you just didn't sleep at all. Right.
Yeah, they tell you to come 4 hours before nowadays, okay. To be safe, and of course they give you this paper that you must print and have on hand before you come to the airport, and that's like the paper to have. And of course, I put it in my bag, 100%. Got to the airport, can't find it.
Oh, God.
with all these types of things, somehow that happens.
Okay, so was there like a Nefesh B'Nefesh representative on the Newark side?
Yeah, so there was a person who was available, on messages and as well as calling, no problem. They were very helpful whenever we needed that. So there was a lot of support there, the lead up to that, we traveled from Baltimore to Newark the night before. We ended up leaving at like 11:30 and checking in at like 2:45 in the morning at this airport, but at this hotel near the airport. But that made it helpful in the morning so that we could, go to the airport and a 10-minute walk or 10-minute drive to the airport. And
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. So good. So you, that's already a whole experience. You probably don't even want to remember that morning because, when you leave your home, it's emotional.
Yeah, this is true. This is definitely true. At the same time, we're very, very much focused on when we were coming. And
I know you're very practical. I know you already, but still, I mean, my husband still talks about being in the van. We actually hired someone to drive us to the airport, and we had sold everything. And he said we were in the. He never told me this, but he said he remembers being in the van, looking at our house, backing out, and thinking, "What are we doing?" But you didn't have that. You didn't have that, right?
Everything happened so fast, and there were so many curveballs in our way that the adrenaline and getting everything going and being there, everything was very much. There are a lot of uncontrolled factors that came into the picture that we had to deal with. So it kind of allowed us to focus on that instead
good,
of
good. Okay, kind of being so good. All right, distractions can be good. You know, you're a problem solver. So that. Takes your energy, right? And takes your focus. Okay.
Yeah. And then also knowing that we would be coming here and immediately being inside a quarantine, a 2-week quarantine, also was something to that keeping us our mind focused on, like, you know, we bought like an inflatable pool, we put it in our luggage, and we took air mattresses. And so we really only were able to work with what we were bringing. Happened to be, my wife and some family members nearby that helped us tremendously with lending us a fridge and a table and chairs and toaster oven. So we were able to kind of transition a little bit more smoothly because of all that help that we got. That was really critical. I mean, it really would have been a way different situation if we.
Okay, but remember, Moshe, you are moving to Israel. You're not moving to like Alabama. So if you did not have family, people would have stepped in. That's what they do here.
This is true. There's a lot of that. And everybody who's here, at least in the area that we're at, is very American, and everyone has a similar story or can easily recall their time when they came and the help that they received. So there's a lot of paying it forward here for sure.
Oh, yeah. It has nothing to do with Corona. This is what people, this is Jewish community. You know, Israel is one big Jewish community.
paradigm shifts is that
you're going to see it. You're going to see it again and again, and you'll be on both sides. It's great.
So
you do your 2 weeks. You're stuck in an apartment with your family for 2 weeks. Not the worst thing in the world, right?
Right.
And it's like a forced vacation. Look at it that way. I'm sure you played a lot of Scrabble, and so skip that. You've done 2 weeks of that. I mean, you can use your phone. You can use your computer.
Yeah, and we had a landlord install internet for us here, so that I could also be involved with work and and be able to have some level of infrastructure going on.
Yeah.
It worked out well.
Okay, so it happened right before school.
Yeah, that was another. Yeah, that was something that was probably the first topic in our minds to resolve. And when we were there, we had one idea of where we wanted to send. And once we got here, after just being around here, it made us realize that it would be worthwhile for us to look at the schools, to feel out the schools and see, what would be best, and not have like a situation where, we could have, obviously not wanting that to happen, but if we would have sent someplace we didn't see and then later on found out something that we could have, noticed beforehand by just looking at it, we didn't want to be in that situation. So, we were able to look at the schools ourselves and definitely recommend that.
You're talking about physically looking at the school. Is that what you mean?
Physically looking, going, and
you almost sent your kid to a dump? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
No. All the schools here are great. Really, it isn't. It isn't about there's no option here that's not good. It's just about what you're looking for. They're all excellent at serving the mission that they're espousing, and they're all great at that. That's really something that's pretty unique as well.
Okay, remind me where you are. I know you're in Beit Shemesh, but Beit Shemesh is a few different sections. Which one are you in?
We are in Ramat Beit Shemesh Aleph.
Okay, Ramat Beit Shemesh Aleph, and I'm sure there are a few schools there, just even a few, right?
Yeah, there's a lot. Definitely.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. All right, so go on. So the kids kind of went back to school. Or are they doing partial school? Or are they partial Zoom? What's the story?
Yeah, for our kids, they started school when we were able to, but then they had a few days where they closed down. But at the same time, because at least for my daughters, they were new olot, so they kept on doing olpan for them specifically. I know that they were going for a shorter period of time, and
you mean like a really, short day? You mean a short day?
Yeah,
right?
Like a shorter day, exactly.
Yeah, it's all messed up for everybody. It's not just you. It's for everybody.
It's a case by case type of basis.
It's nuts. My kid is going to school in a shelter. Okay, I mean it's ridiculous, and we're paying a private teacher because there's no classroom in the school. So effectively, he has no school for 3 days a week. It's ridiculous, but we're doing what we can and getting through it.
The great thing about it is also that that schools here. The good things that I've seen about the schools here is the fact, first of all, like compared pricing wise to the United States, it's not even a question. Like the tuition costs here are much more affordable than the States.
Yeah.
Schools.
Yeah, but you knew that. This you knew, right? You did know that.
I did. Yes, this is true. At the same time, they also have classes or extra classes at the end of the school day, which includes some very cool options like horseback riding and jazz and really, really diverse type of options that are very engaging. And aside from all this as well is, I have a daughter who needs extra additional help in school, or at least in Baltimore. And here, part of the way that it's structured, she's walking to school herself with her bag of books, which is heavy. And so she takes this like 10 minute walk. And by the time she gets to school, she's already expended a large amount of energy. And that helps her a lot to focus. And so
you're tiring her out. So she'll sit still in the classroom. Is that pretty much what you're telling me?
What I'm trying to say is that when you have that it's great for occupational therapy, like that type of thing.
Yes, exercise. It is
Not a new thing, Moshe. Oh God. So good. So that's so. I guess in Baltimore, she didn't walk to school, right? She
you go in a car, and you're there for quite a bit of time, and you know that.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
both systems
cool.
are good. It's just that.
Isn't that interesting? That's so simple.
We're seeing the benefits of the things that we're gaining.
Yeah, yeah. It's good to hear it. It's such a simple fix. Yofi. Okay, Moshe. Take care. Chag Sameach. Shana Tova. And, you know, all the best.
Thank you.
Yofi. Mitsuyan. Bye-bye.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar? She's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Returning Home. This is your host, Natalie Sapinski, and I'm talking today with my good friend, Zezi Fold.
Thank you for having me back on. It's good to be back.
Good. So tell us how long you've been back and what you've done as soon as you got out of that airport.
Oh, my gosh. So I've been back now for almost 3 weeks at this time. When you get to the airport now, you have to give them your information. So they know where to track you, I guess, in terms of bidud. Once you get back here, you have to go into quarantine for 2 weeks. Stayed in quarantine away from my family for 2 weeks, which was very, very, very tough.
All right, slow
and
down.
Now, slow down. I'm back.
Okay, slow down, because I never heard that before. We've been speaking to a couple people, a few Olim who have come. They never said you had to give your information so they can track you.
Anybody who takes a flight in from Israel, from America, there's two papers that they make you fill out. It's on the government. Before you even get on the flight, they make you, it's not like you something you could fill out on the airplane itself. You have to fill it out in America to get on the flight. You have to fill out where you're going to be, where they can contact you, and where you'll be staying for your quarantine period.
Okay. Do they ask you for your cell phone information?
Yeah, they ask you for your cell phone information. They ask you for your email. Where you're going to be, if there's air in the room, whatever it is, they ask you a few different questions. And you need that paperwork to get into the country.
Uh-huh. So once you land, what do you do? You hand that over?
Yeah. So once you land, it really depends. If you're a citizen of Israel, all you have to do is fill out that paperwork or have that paperwork with you. It's already in their system if you did it on the computer, and they allow you to come into the country. And obviously things are a little bit different, meaning can you take a cab or you can't take a cab. There's no like what's called a sherut. Sherut is like a group, a van that goes from the airport to different areas. So they don't have that anymore for right now.
Are you allowed to take a taxi?
Yeah, so a taxi you're allowed to take. You're only going to have one person in the taxi, and the taxi drivers actually have a divider that they've put up between themselves and you.
All right, fine. And their trains. The trains are running.
Yeah, I think the trains are running. Everyone has to wear a mask. It's very different than it is in America. Coming from New York, people are already pretty much done with masks unless they're inside of a building. Outside, there's no masks. And in America, in Israel, I was at the Kotel this week. I was at the Western Wall, and they were giving out tickets right and left for anybody who had their mask off under their mouth. It has to be covering the nose and the mouth, and they're being very serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you did 2 weeks, you stayed inside and probably worked on your computer, right?
Yeah. I was home on my computer. Luckily had some work to do for my yeshiva that I have here. I have a high school here, as you know, and had to do some work for that. So it gave me some time, but it was very lonely, lonely and not so easy. So make sure you have a good book or a good series of books if you're going into quarantine for yourself by yourself for 2 weeks.
Right. Okay, so you're done and now you're back to life. So tell me what that is like for you.
Yeah, life for me is a little bit hectic. I have a wife who's actually right now in the middle of her taking her nursing exam. She had a nursing license in America and she's transferring over here. I think we actually discussed that once, how that process works. But she's doing that right now. And I got 5 kids at home who are some homeschooling because of quarantine. Some are in school because there's an area they're allowed to be. It's a little bit hectic. I have my high school in Beit Shemesh that I'm running. Today was our first day back. We were quarantined for 2 weeks, but today's our first day back.
Okay, slow down. Why were you quarantined for 2 weeks? The school, all the students, right?
Yeah, so our yeshiva was quarantined due to the fact that we had one teacher that tested positive for corona. Therefore, the whole school had to be shut down for 2 weeks. Today was our first day back. That was a nice situation. And then the government is closing down the school starting this Friday.
Okay, so I want our listeners to hear what's going on because your situation, I think, is happening in other places too. Here in Israel, if one person in a school tests positive for corona, they shut down the school and the entire student body has to go into quarantine. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
No, that's not correct. Happens to be we have a very small school, so therefore everybody pretty much was in contact with that teacher. He teaches many different classes. If it's a situation where you're keeping to that one teacher being in one classroom, then that one classroom would have to go into quarantine. But in our scenario, in our situation, this teacher is going from classroom to classroom, so therefore it had shut us all down. We as religious Jews, we like to be with family during this time of holidays. And I think the government is trying to stop that, whether I believe that's a good idea or not.
Yeah, I think they're saying it's because they want the infections to decrease. That's their
exactly.
That's their thinking. And Israel was at the top of this at the beginning of the pandemic. We were the leaders.
I think as I discussed with my brother one time, I think the reason that this situation is what it is we shut down so quickly the first time that really no one got a chance to be around the disease and no one got a chance to be sick. And when we reopened pretty quickly and people from different countries and people from different places came in and therefore everyone got sick and a lot more people are becoming sick. Thank God seems like it's like a second wave of the corona and therefore less people are becoming deathly ill.
That's right.
As opposed to before where every single person had it very, very tough and had it very hard. Here, at least, thank God, it seems like this is a softer strain of the virus.
Yeah, well, I think that's absolutely true. The numbers of infected are high, but the numbers of seriously ill are low. And you know, if you look at it makes you think, why are we shutting down? But we don't need to get into that here. I know you mentioned that your cousin who died 2 years ago, Ari Fold, who we all know, many of us know and remember, has I think his yahrzeit is coming up tomorrow or Thursday. Do you want to share anything about that?
Yeah, a couple of things. It's funny, actually. You mentioned the word died. And anytime I actually mention the word died to people around, family of mine, they would lash out at me.
I'm wrong to say he died. He was murdered. He was murdered in cold blood. I mean, I pass that spot all the time. I see his the spot all the time. I shop there just like everyone else. So he was murdered, and I didn't mean anything. I'm sorry.
No, I've become sensitive towards the word die. Died means that they had something and it went its course and they died. My cousin, those of you who don't know, my cousin Ari Fold, my first cousin, we were close, and one day he was by Tzomet HaGush, I wouldn't call it a dangerous area per se. There are a lot of soldiers there. There are things that have happened there, but it's not an area that I wouldn't go and not an area I wouldn't frequent. He was there one day, and a coward of a Arab came behind him, stabbed him in the back. My cousin, for all intents and purposes, should have died on the spot, according to the doctors. He saw the Arab was running after another lady who ran the falafel shop next door. And my cousin ran after the guy with the knife still stuck in his back, ran after the guy, got a couple shots off, got the guy to fall down. A couple other people caught the Arab, but my cousin in the meantime had dropped down and died. It was a bad morning. I was leaving to the airport. To Israel, actually. I just texted Ari a few hours before. I was very excited to see him. One of his things that he loved was spending time in the Kotel, and I love spending time with him. So I said to him, this week we had to hang out, and he was very excited. I was very excited. And that morning I woke up, and a friend of mine sent me a video, and it said, Israeli was just stabbed at Tzomet HaGush and killed. And I used to work for a security company in America, and I got the video footage pretty quickly, and I saw it and didn't really believe my eyes because it was pretty clear from the video who it was, but I was not ready to believe it because, you know, no one sent it to me saying, hey, by the way, do you know this person? It just was sent to me because some Israeli was just stabbed, and I lost it. I was actually preparing, my family and I were leaving to Israel. A couple hours later, it was right before Yom Kippur, and we were leaving to go to the airport in a few hours, and it was a very hard flight for me. It was a very hard trip for me. I have certain periods of time which are harder than others. I did go to the area of where my cousin was murdered once, only a few months ago. I had a hard time with it. I have yet to go to his kever, to his to the cemetery where he's buried. I'm still not up to that yet. But he was a tremendous person. He wasn't what he was in his death, as much as what he is in his life. We all remember him. The world remembers him for they call him the Lion of Zion, the fighter he was. It was a joke to my family, the fact that he could have been killed in being a black belt and being somebody who was big in the army. And the only way you could have gotten Ari Fold was from behind. There was no other way to get Ari Fold. And Hashem Yinkom Damo. And, you know, it's not an easy situation. The years don't pass on and it gets easier. If anything, 2 years gone by and it's gotten harder.
We'll return right after these messages.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Returning Home. I'm Natalie Safinsky, your host, and we are continuing speaking with Zezi Fold, who's telling us about the tragic murder of his cousin Ari. Please continue, Zezi.
The more people who have reached out to me and said, okay, how are you living your life? How are you keeping Ari's name alive? And, you know, it's an amazing thing to me, and I hear these things from everybody. I'm doing this because of your cousin Ari, and I remember your cousin Ari because of this. And anecdotally, yesterday you told me that you met him at a gas station. Isn't that correct?
Right there at Samaragush.
Yeah. And people remember that. They remember the time they spent with him. Out of everyone in the family, probably, besides for one or two of his siblings, I look most like him. But we were very much alike in our passion for Israel, very much alike in our passion for Torah and Eretz Yisrael. One of the things that I loved about him so much was he wasn't one way or the other. He wasn't pure Eretz Yisrael, you have to live here, ultra Zionistic, everyone has to live here and there's no other way of living. And he wasn't, this is the Torah and it doesn't make a difference where I am and where you are. You don't have to be in Israel to learn Torah. He was a good shiluv, a good combination of the both, where we need Eretz Yisrael and we need the Torah. We need Israel and we need the Bible to keep them both together, to have them together. And one of my favorite things about Ari was he was always ready for a conversation. He didn't care what you looked like, what you spoke about. He just wanted to have a conversation. And if he disagreed with you, he would disagree with you and you'd have a conversation. The reason people hated him was because they hated him because he was always right about what he spoke about.
Right. He was right and he was loud about it. He was not a wimp, you know? It's great. Sometimes, you know, we need him today. Like, we need people to stand up and fight. It's a tremendous loss.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge, tremendous loss. I think that's the goal that I've had, that I've put on myself a little bit, helping people make Aliyah, helping people realize their potential in life, in everything that I do, and really both sides of it, helping people. You know, as I told you before, I mentor kids who have lost parents. It's not about me, it's about them, helping them fulfill their potential. They're missing something in their life. How do they fulfill their potential when missing a parent? Now that I'm trying to help people with their Aliyah situation, it's not about me, it's about helping them fulfill their lifelong dreams. People need to know that this is our home, this is the place, and there are thousands and thousands of people here that are welcoming you and ready for you to come home and want to help you out, whether it be finding a job or whether it's insurance or whatever it is. That's really what Natalie's show, I think, is about. It's about helping people get the answers that they're looking for, no?
Yeah, but more so support. Support. Know that you're not alone. You know, you came here and you had your whole family here. There are people like me who can't come on their own. Don't be afraid is my big message. You know, come. This is the Jewish state. We're all family here. I hope this show helps, just like I hope Partners in Aliyah helps, just like I hope Nefesh B'Nefesh helps. There are so many of us, like you're saying, ready and willing to help. Just find us. And hopefully this show will help in that way. And we're just one source.
Yeah. Thank you. Can I actually give one message that Ari would probably share?
Please.
I think the message that Ari would share in today would be don't be afraid and don't look for excuses. There's always excuses why not to make Aliyah, why not to do something, why not to learn a little more, why not to do a little more. Get rid of the excuses in your life. You know, everyone has the excuses. Well, I don't want to make Aliyah because the government is a Zionist government, so I don't want to make Aliyah. Or I don't want to make Aliyah because it's just too difficult. And there's no way of getting a job. Stop with the excuses. Look for the solutions. They are out there. You can get the solutions. People are here to help you. And look for them. If you look for the solutions, you'll find them. If you look for the excuses, you'll find those as well. People always tell me, well, the reason I don't want to fly to Israel, the reason I don't want to go make Aliyah is because, you know, they hate the Haredim. They hate the ultra-Orthodox in Israel. That's not true. You're looking at the excuses that you want to find. Don't look at the excuses. Look at the solutions of how to make Aliyah, how to make your dream a reality, and come home. I'm not preaching because I think I'm better than anybody. That was the big message that I got from people in America. Again, we don't want to be preached to. The people that are here to help out are not preaching to help you and to talk down to you. They're preaching because they want to help you, and they want to help you get this to be a dream of yours. If it's not a dream of yours, okay, beseder, kol hakavod, and good luck to you. But if it is a dream of yours, it's a reality, and it can be a reality.
That's
so
right.
So contact us. Again, I always say, I'm here. Contact me. Thank God people have reached out to me from the show, emailed me, and I've been helping a lot of those people. But again, as I always say in fundraising, if you don't reach people, if you don't call them, they can't give you the answer no or yes. Mm-hmm. You got to reach out. No one's going to help you if you don't reach out.
Right.
I was speaking to a lady recently about her process, and she's like, well, how much longer is it going to be? And then she said to me, I said to her, well, did you fill out the paperwork yet for Nefesh B'Nefesh? She's like, no, I just want to come. I'm like, there is a process. There are things that need to get done, and there are things that need to happen. So, right. But we need to do them. We need to fulfill the process, and we need to go ahead and do our part. And if we do our part, we're able to come home and live the life that we want to, really, 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 in our Tzeinu HaKadosha. I think the saddest thing during this governmental closure that is going to be is, I always say the most beautiful time of the year is this time of year. These 3 weeks of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. These 3 weeks are about to hit. The country is moving, and there's a hustle, and there's a bustle. And
right, right.
There still will be. People will still be getting their lulav and their esrog, and there will still be people getting, preparing their Sukkot, and there still will be people preparing for Yom Tov. But it will definitely be subdued, and it will definitely be a little bit less. So take this opportunity. Take this opportunity during Rosh Hashanah and the Yom Kippur, and take this opportunity to be with your family, be with the ones that are closest to you, and realize who you're supposed to be with, and you know what? Cherish what you have. You know, there was a rabbi, I think it was, I don't want to say his name because I don't want to forget it. I'll hopefully remember. But he said, during Corona, people thought they were in control of their jobs, and you know what? They weren't. Jobs were shut down. And people thought they were in control of their businesses, and that they weren't, though. And people thought they were in control of their families and who they could see in their family, and that they weren't in control of. He said the only thing that you were in control of is what you were. And he said all these people that were in America were stuck in America. He's like, at least I'm stuck in Israel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he's like,
right.
I don't have a business. I don't have a job. I don't have all these sorts of other things because God shut down the world. But at least I'm home. I'm in Israel where I want to be.
Right.
And it's a great message for us. Now we're going into these 3 weeks.
You said a few good messages in there. And the strongest one, and I hope you won't be offended that this is the strongest message, but, you know, people, you got to stop with the excuses. You know, you can have excuses for everything. And I don't want to, I mean, I chose not to live my life having regrets. I do that. I don't want to say, I wish I had. Now, all of you, do you want to live thinking, I wish I had? You only have one life. This is not a dress rehearsal. So come. And, you know.
That was passionate. I feel like I want to come all over again. Can I do this over again?
Yeah. But I don't really understand. And people come up with these excuses. I'm like, look, Israel has been around for 72 years and it works. So there's really no reason not to come today. And people dig. They dig. And the people who dig for excuses, and they, you know, those are those people in Mitzrayim who did not leave. And it's very sad to me. It's very sad to me. It's very sad to me. I'm the only family member here. My kids don't have cousins. They don't have grandparents. Nobody here. And okay, I say to them, we're Dor Rishon. There's always a Dor Rishon. There's always a first generation. So you all have families, and in 25 years, we'll have a full table. And, you know, if that's holding you people back, just take the same attitude, and you have to be strong for your kids. You have to fake it.
but it's worth it.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Zezzy. Thanks for speaking with us from your heart. I know that was hard.
I think spreading the message of Ari and the love of Eretz Yisrael that he had was so pure. It was literally, it was so pure. He just wanted people to understand that this is our home. Anytime somebody would say to him, well, this is the home for the Arabs, and this is the home for, he's like, stop, this is not, move on. This is home, this is it.
Yeah.
Yep.
100%. Yeah, Fama Od, and Shana Tova. And
have a happy new year. Thank you for having me on.
Pitom upon us, but it's good. It's always good when it's this time of year. Thank you to all you listeners out there who have been tuning into the show these past few weeks, giving us our start, and especially those of you who contact me at Natalie@IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. You can also contact Zezzy at Zezzy@Zezzy.co.il. And you can write into the chat room at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Shana Tova and Gamar Chatima Tova.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.